Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride, if these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because.
Hi.
Helen, did you hit record?
Oh, God. Well,
we're gonna, Helen.
Yeah.
We'll get into
We're going to get into Helen not hitting record.
OMG. Welcome.
We even did a social media post about Helen not hitting record. So if you haven't seen that.
Helen needs to get it together. And for those of you who are just joining us for the first time.
Helen. Is her.
Is a mess, and she's not real.
She's our fake producer. Oh, Jamie. Anyway, all right, we've got a great episode today.
You guys.
I have never said that before, but I just said it like we've got a great episode today for you.
You've said that. Haven't you said that?
I don't think so. But we do.
Actually, guys, wait, everybody listening, we are actually in the same room right now.
When you said, wait, guys, I was like, what's she going to say? I didn't know where you were
going.
So
prolific.
We have these plastic, we're back in the DNR studios. Thank you, Romaine and Derek.
Romaine and Derek, you rock.
Listen to the DNR show.
Yeah.
But listen, we're sitting between like plastic shower curtains and like the smell of Lysol wafting in the air. And we're so social distanced.
We're so social distanced, yet we're looking right at each other.
It makes not
it
in a weird
so
way.
Much easier. Mm. So we're doing that.
Can you notice a difference that we can, or do you not care at all? Are you just like, shut up and get to the guest?
Yes, get to the episode. But let me tell you, riding my bike through the city this morning, it's like desolate.
Jamie, I drove in because I'm not taking public transportation.
No, me either.
Like, fuck that noise. Like, I'm not doing it.
No,
so I drove in. For those of you who know New York City, first of all, I made it from deep in Brooklyn to Midtown Manhattan past Penn Station in 19 minutes.
That's cray cray.
Driving 25 miles an hour. It's number one. Number two, I went all the way from Canal to 36th Street without stopping once.
That's crazy. I mean, it's really, there's no
car. Like, there's no people. Where are the people?
I rode my bike like I was riding through the country. There were no cars.
Do you remember that 80s movie where like a few kids like woke up, like four of them, and it was like, and everybody had disappeared. There was like some dust thing. It was like a horror movie and it was like zombies. It was very 80s. The girl had like had sex with her boyfriend in a movie theater.
I vaguely remember this. Yeah.
And then they went into like a shopping center.
Wasn't it like these weird hairy creatures?
I think it might have been zombies.
Oh.
But anyway, that's what the city feels like right
now.
It's
desolate.
It's weird.
It's really weird. But I got to say that bike ride is nice because I'm not worried about cars.
But we left our bike at the Cape because we're going back. So I'm a little sad about that. I don't have it. But by the way, speaking of bike rides, and this is our last item before we get into
the
actual
fucking
show. I know. Fuck the script.
We're just so happy to be together.
I know. Hi. And another thing. But last night there was a huge Black Lives Matter bicycle ride across the street from our apartment. It was so fantastic.
That's nice.
They were so organized and they had all these people in orange vests like holding traffic. And then they had like, they were chanting like, you know, what do we want? Justice now. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
No, but also last order of business. Last one I want to mention. How cool is it that the Black Lives Matter got written on Fifth Avenue?
Oh my God. And did you see
so
that
awesome.
In front of Trump's Trump Towers? But here, did you see that they faced it? So any of the front people looking out from Trump Towers will have, it reads from
there. Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I loved
that's
it.
I want to take the kids just to go, like for just to go be there.
Well, and listen, you can get there without any stoplights, so just go.
I know, we have to drive.
Because there's no one in the city.
Yeah, we'll drive.
Because it's
we're lucky we have a car.
Somebody write in on social media what that movie was, the 80s zombie movie.
All right.
But before we go into introducing our guests, I want to say a special thank you.
I wasn't following the script.
She doesn't ever follow the script. I want to send a special thank you to our newest Patreon members, Sarah Anderson and Julia Damberger.
You guys rock.
Is it Damberger or Damberger?
It looks like it's Damberger.
I feel
I'm going
like,
to go with that. I'm going to make the
like
executive decision.
We have that this segment should be called It Looks Like It's, and that's how we say the last name. It looks like it's Damberger. Damberger?
Yeah, it's Damberger.
Damberger would be weird.
Damberger.
Well, it wouldn't be weird if that's the name. It would just be like Damberger. Weird to say Damberger.
Damberger, Damberger, Damberger.
All right. Well, Sarah and Julia.
Thank you.
I can say those two names, Sarah
how
and Julia.
All of our Patreon members seem to have tough
really
names.
Hard names.
Maybe that's just the whole population of the world.
I know. Maybe we're just like really dumb and can't read.
I don't know.
All right. If you want to join our Patreon community, you're going to get bonus content, video swag, and most importantly, you're going to help support us making this podcast a reality because, you know, we're poor.
And my mom
did I say
says,
that out loud?
My mom says the actual videos of the episodes are now her favorite thing. She loves seeing. I say this all the time because my mom says it all the time. She
Jamie's
loves
mom says it. It must be true.
Everybody's faces. So she loves to put a face to the name so you can get that.
Somebody told us that they didn't think nobody looks the way they thought they would.
Yeah. Somebody said that on the
except
social.
Except us. We put our stupid mugs up all the time. All right. Patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Do that.
All right. So let's get into this. Our guests for today are Lesbi Dovas.
You might know them. They're Instagram famous. They are like the most hot couple.
Jamie spends the entire episode talking about how hot they are to them. It's very uncomfortable.
And they're always like, they always have these beautiful pictures of them kissing.
They're always making out.
Not intimate.
Whoa, Jamie. They're not doing dirty things.
No, like hugging. Like, it's really great. Like,
you know why? Because they don't have the baby yet, Jamie. That's
I know.
Why.
Yeah, they're not mad at each other yet. You know, they're just a great queer couple.
And they're huge on the Instagram, Lesbi Dovas.
But huge.
Listen, here's the thing.
Here's the
thing. I just got to own up to something.
Helen.
Didn't hit record when we started this interview.
We were
really
mad at
it. And we were a solid 20 minutes in when Helen realized that she hadn't done the job. It was like another 5 minutes before Helen told me.
Yeah.
And then I had to take the rap
for Helen,
it.
I think yeah, right.
I mean,
exactly.
I laid down on the sword for Helen.
Yeah, right. But I think Helen smoked a pack of cigarettes before she actually told
she
us.
She was drunk. So listen, and these two ladies were such troopers.
They had to go in and retell everything.
Oh my God, they did it so good. So you can hear that a little bit at the beginning. Helen. Anyway, they got pregnant using a known donor at home and using that Mira app, the ovulation tracker that we've been talking about, which we have a partnership with.
Yeah.
So if you want a discount, go to ovariestalk.com.
Yeah, listen
for that
to how
starter kit.
It worked for them. It's kind of amazing. I wish I had known. I wish.
All right, I'm going to ask Helen to roll the tape and let's see if she actually
Helen,
does it. Helen,
wake up. Helen, wake up, honey.
Roll the tape.
Honey, wake up, sweetheart.
I'm so sick of her not doing her job.
You got to treat her kindly.
I don't.
I think we need to try a new tactic
with
her.
I quit.
So we got to stop yelling at Helen. Hi, guys.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, guys.
I feel like we have to really own up to, I have to own up to, as we start, the fact that we were 20 minutes into our interview and I realized I wasn't recording in one place. And so I apologize to the universe.
Anyway, it's going to be great. We have Mel and Neg here of Lesbi Dovas, the Instagram famous couple who we love.
So tell us, who is Mel and who's Neg? And let's go into that a little bit.
Okay. I am Melissa.
And I'm Neggy.
And we are Lesbi Dovas.
Lesbi Dovas. So before we get into everything, we have to hear your 30-second elevator pitch.
Guys, like, this is like Groundhog's Day.
I feel like we just were here.
Let's do this. It's like
Groundhog's. Let's see if you can do it at 30.25 again. Can you do it again? On your mark.
The exact same time.
Get set. Go.
We are Melissa and Neging, otherwise known as Mel and Neg, for Lesbi Dovas. And we are a lesbian couple that have been together for almost 4 years. We came from San Diego, met in San Diego, and then we are now living in Arizona. We are just living our life. We traveled a lot. Now we are starting a family and enjoying the next chapter in our life and can't wait to share our journey with the world in the next.
And we're having a baby girl.
So good.
31.77. So well done. Start the YouTube channel right now because you're pros.
Oh, Lord.
Obviously, we want to say congratulations. You're pregnant.
Thank you.
When are you due?
July 27th. Oh, my gosh.
You're having a Leo.
Yes. How is the Leo?
I might be a Leo.
Oh, very nice.
I might be August 12th. So if you can just keep the baby in there like 2 more weeks.
I'm sure they're dying.
We'll sync up. It'll be great.
Oh, no. We're in Arizona. No, thank you.
Yeah. But we have a pool.
Oh, you have a pool?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've seen it on Instagram.
So that brings us right to my first question that I was dying to know. How does a lesbian couple like yourselves become Instagram famous? How did you do? Did you like set out to do that? Did you meet each other and say, let's you know, be lesbians on the Insta?
And by the way, we're not asking because we want to be lesbian famous.
I really don't know how it happened. I mean, you guys are gorgeous and there's a reason why your photos are so popular. Well,
thank you.
Explain.
Babe, why don't you let them know how
it started? It just kind of happened. So on my personal account, I posted one of our wedding photos and pretty much it just went viral. So my wife and I, we decided, hey, let's start a travel page and, you know, share our love to the LGBT community. And so,
well, on top of that, she was starting her social media marketing job and she was learning how to really leverage the platforms and whatnot. And one of our pictures or a few of our pictures from the wedding went a little bit viral. So she's like, oh, babe, we are definitely creating an account. Let's see if we can post some more pictures. And I said, okay, let's do it.
And it works out great because she has the eye for photography. Yes. And I do the social media marketing. So together we work.
It's amazing. First of all, I thought you guys were like models. I thought you were ex-models. And so you were like, ooh, yeah, we'll just put this on our social.
I love that you called them ex-models.
No, like they're done with that, but they're using their modeling skills.
I don't moved know. On.
And then also, it's really not that easy for a photo to go viral. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just like you act like you just posted it. And then it just, I mean, did you have
that's what happened.
That is exactly what happened. Yeah. Honestly, okay. So
she was traveling.
Before our wedding, and we tried to take like our engagement photos, we were so awkward. We just didn't know how to take pictures. Yeah. And we were like, we need to up our game just like the wedding comes so we know how to pose in pictures. True. It was pretty insane how this all transpired. But basically when we had a couple of engagement sessions and then for the wedding, it's the photographers from Del Sol in Cancun. They took fantastic photos.
Yes, they did.
The way that they captured it, everything turned out beautifully. When we got those pictures, she posted on her personal account. And she, at the time, you had like 400 followers. Mm-hmm. And it went crazy. Yeah. And so she's like, oh, I'm creating this account. And I'm like, all right.
You know, I mean, we keep talking about how beautiful you guys are. But really, the point of this is.
Jamie, actually, it's you that keeps doing that. But go ahead. I mean, I'm not saying you two aren't beautiful. I'm just saying Jamie just keeps mentioning it. I hope Anne's not listening right now.
She's busy with two kids right now. She's not hearing anything. But, you know, the real thing of this and the main thing about this is that you are highlighting relationships like ours. Yeah. And you're showing them in a light that, yes, is beautiful, but is also honest and real and accessible. And so we thank you for that. That's the work that needs to be done.
Aww.
Yeah. And I think.
Thank you.
And we thank you for the lipstick and for, you know, looking prettier than we do right now.
But I think that that's a big reason why you were touched by an angel and you just went viral.
Did you seriously drop in touched by an angel? You did.
So, all right. That's so awesome. This is amazing. So you go viral. You have this amazing Lesbi Dovas Instagram account. You're well known.
And you're like, now let's have a baby.
Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
It couldn't have gone like that.
She dropped the bomb on me in San Diego with the whole baby.
Yeah.
Did you both always want to have kids?
Yes.
Yes. For the most part, yes. We're both family oriented. We both come from really good families. And, you know, through transitions of either figuring out if I want to be a career woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Or family woman, it was always instilled in me to still want a family. Mm-hmm. So it was no brainer.
And I do want to, I want to talk about this a little bit too. Both of you came out rather young, I feel like, right? Like, when did you guys come out? How hard was it to come out? And that didn't affect, or did it affect, you wanting to have children?
Yeah, so I came out, it was also a progression. I came out to like close friends and family. And then I want to say back in 2007, 2008. And that I feel like is still a long time ago, but there wasn't a lot of exposure out there for lesbians. The only kind of lesbians out there was Ellen, who I was a huge fan of, still a huge fan of. And then I would secretly watch The L Word.
Yes.
And then
secretly.
I definitely did that.
Yeah. And then I had a lot of gay boyfriends. So I would go to the gay bars and whatnot. And then finally, after coming out to my friends, I came out to my family. It was very difficult in the beginning with my family. It kind of drove a wedge a bit. And it was really awkward. But I was in college at the time and I was living on my own. So it was okay to kind of live my life. But my family eventually came around and now they're like super accepting and they love her.
Her mom's my best friend.
They are best friends.
How it always goes.
It's not how it always goes.
No, it's not. You're right. It's how it should go, I should say.
Definitely not how it always goes. But yeah, now I mean, cut to now. I'm out and proud and all over Instagram.
You sure are.
It's amazing.
What about you, Neg?
For me, I came out back in 2008, and it was more of an intervention. My parents are divorced, so I came out to my mom, and I was in a relationship. I had my heart broken. It was puppy love at the time. Mm-hmm. And when I told my mom about it, she said, I don't care who you're in a relationship with, as long as you finish school. That was actually what she really said. She was like, I don't want you to get in a relationship, because she felt like I would get distracted. So a few months later, I ended up in a relationship. And it was with a girl. And then later on, my dad, he kind of caught wind of it. And I came out to my dad. I just straight up told him. And next thing I know, my mom came over to my dad's house. And again, my parents are divorced. So it was just like this huge intervention. They were all getting on to me about it. And I ended up just moving out and just continued my life.
Wow.
And then I moved to California. It was just a sudden move for me. And so when I met Melissa, I just knew she was the one for me. Mm. And so I ended up telling my parents, and I was like, this is very serious for me. You know, she's the one. I know I'm going to marry her at some point. And my mom was a little iffy about it, but
she did not want to meet me.
Yeah.
She didn't want to hear about me.
Oh
yeah. It was actually very difficult. And so then when the wedding came, both of my parents, I really felt like my parents were not going to show up, and they both ended up coming. And so for me, it was just a really big deal, especially being Middle Eastern. It's frowned upon, you know.
From Alabama,
yes.
Yeah.
So it was just very different. And as far as, you know, wanting a family, that's always been, you know, on my mind, whether I was going to be with a guy or a girl. I've always pictured myself with a family at some point. Mm-hmm. So that didn't really matter for me, you know, if I ended up with a girl or a guy. And I did date guys in the past, but.
You're like, I'm bored with this. Amen. Not so much.
Oh. I mean, look at her.
Exactly. Exactly.
JB, settle down.
I mean, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that and that it was so difficult, but I'm glad that they've come around.
That's good.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. It's interesting because Robin and I talk about this all the time. We're older. I mean, we're not that old, but we are a little slightly older, gay generation. The younger generations have it so much easier and it's so much easier to come out. And it's actually not true. It's still
But that's also why I'm so interested in hearing you say, like, you were like looking at L Word. It seems to me, I always felt like you're so recent in coming out that it should be all just there for you, but it's just not. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, if you think about it, 2007, 2008 for me was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like it was 12, 13 years ago. Yeah. And social media wasn't around as it is now.
Not at all.
You know, like YouTube was barely starting and I was looking at Portia and Ellen. I was like, oh my God, they're so pretty.
So let's turn the corner to making a baby. How did we get there? Because you are, you know, making a baby.
They have a baby. I mean, literally. Mm-hmm.
She's cooking right now.
I
think she's pretty much cooked.
She's cooked.
She is. I told her, I said, we need to get the bag ready. I mean,
I feel like she's ready to come out. Like she's moving. Like she's
I feel like grooving. Everything they tell you to put in that bag, you just don't.
Nah,
need.
You don't use
That's
it.
That's how I feel. They have it all at the hospital. Just don't worry about it.
Don't stress. See?
There you go, babe.
Don't stress. All right. So let's go into this. How did you guys decide to do this?
Well, our relationship overall was kind of a bit of on a fast track. And I think it started because we became like best friends actually before we started dating. We were dating other people and we were almost each other's confidants at the time where you just talk about things that you would probably never talk about with somebody that you were going to date. And then it just so happened that we were not in our relationships anymore at one point. And then I've never had somebody come out of the friend zone. She's the only person that's come out of the friend zone. And so, so I kind of looked at her a little bit differently and I was like, okay, I can kind of see something. So,
and everyone kept saying that there was something between us.
Oh yes. And then that got me thinking like, maybe we do have some kind of energy. Yeah. And then it kind of shifted to this, okay, she's cute. Maybe I can do this. And then we started talking a little bit more like intimately. And then a couple of months, usually I date people for like 6 to a year before I want to make it official. I made it official on 11/11/2016. Then 11/11/2017, I proposed.
11/11 is our thing.
And then 11/11/18 is when we got married.
Oh my God.
And then that year in 2018, we started talking about potentially moving to Tucson, Arizona because my job is remote and I work virtually. And she was like, okay. And I said, I want to start a family. let's move towards family if we want to start a family. So I kind of dropped the ball on her and I said, I want to start the process next year to have kids. What? Yeah. And she's like, okay, hold on. So we ended up moving. We were settling in. I had a house here. And then even though we were busy, we still kind of were like, well, do you want to start the process? Because it could take a long time. So we started the process last year and we got pregnant.
We got to dissect that. We're going to have to take that step by step.
We have questions.
Lots of questions.
Yes.
We've got answers.
Thank God, because otherwise we'd be like, well, that was this podcast. Yeah.
So, so how did you decide how to go about it? There's so many different ways for us to do this.
So many different ways. Well, my cousin and her wife, they are married. They now have two kids, but it took them 3.5 years to get there. And it's kind of crazy. So when I talked to my cousin, she was talking about the kind of the method that they went about. They tried to go through a fertility doctor, tried IUI, IVF, I believe,
spent thousands and thousands of dollars,
and they just never got pregnant. And so eventually they were almost losing hope, but they ended up going down the path of a known donor. So they knew somebody that was willing to donate their sperm. And they did an at-home insemination. And to up their chances, they started with my cousin. And then a couple weeks later, they're like, well, he's willing to donate again. Let's try it with the wife.
Oh my God.
So they tried it with her. And then they both got pregnant.
Oh my God, this story. That is just crazy though, that they went through all of that fertility and probably lots of drugs too.
Yes,
fertility drugs.
Not the fun kind.
Not the fun, trust me, I know. I've been through them. And then it happened naturally. For both of them.
For both of them. So we were like, why would we start the difficult way? Why don't we just start the easy way? And so we did that. We were like, let's get somebody that would be a known donor, that would be willing and able to, and kind of have the same expectations as us, which is a lot of detail behind that. But we ended up just trying to find a known donor, and we did. And it worked out. And we got pregnant the second try.
Oh my God. So who's this known donor?
Yeah.
So this known donor is one of my friends. He's also gay. And I've known him for like over 12 years.
Very, very good looking guy.
Very cute. Very sweet.
I thought you were going to say very, very gay.
So did I.
I was going to go, aren't we all? A little bit?
Yes. Yes. To answer that, we all are very gay. He and I were always joke about being each other's donors. Because he's so good looking and he's just the sweetest that I claimed him 12 years ago. And I was like, well, he's going to be my donor. And he's like, well, as long as you're my egg donor, you know, just kind of whatever. So then cut to when we were actually looking at donors, I said, well, let's ask him. So he lives in LA and we were going to LA for Pride last year. And I said, well, let's just meet up with him. Let's talk to him. Let's somehow bring it up. I was really nervous.
So I took over. Give me a couple drinks and I'll take over anything.
But the conversation like, just naturally
I've
went
got
there.
This.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, babe, ask him.
Oh my God. This is amazing.
It was actually very easy.
It was actually really, really easy. And he was like, yeah, I'll do it. And we were like, wait, for real though? Like, would you really do it? And he's like, yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
So and then
it was like Paperwork Central or?
It was Paperwork Central.
Questionnaire too.
Questionnaire.
Yes.
Talk about this questionnaire.
Yeah. So I'm an engineer by nature. So I like all my stuff to be like vetted, all my ducks in a row. So I created this questionnaire and it was a pretty lengthy, probably like 40 question invasive-ish, but not really, but maybe, questionnaire asking about like his medical history, his current status, his expectations as
if you wanted to be there at the delivery room.
She really wanted to know.
Yes,
she really wanted to know if he wanted to be there for the delivery.
I was like, I'm asking that question.
That was going to set the tone of his expectations.
Because did you want him to be the delivery room or you didn't? No. So you wanted him. So it was like a trick question almost.
It was almost like,
I have some of those.
Sussing it out.
You do seem like you might be a little like quiet, but like at the same time being like trying to get somebody.
You stealthily sussed him out.
Got her.
It was a stealthily placed question.
Yeah.
Like
a detective. We've heard a lot of people go for it on a handshake deal. We've heard a lot of people work through lawyers, but never anyone that did it like this. I think that's so fascinating.
I think that a lot of our listeners are going to want to know what was on this questionnaire and they're going to want to see it. Yeah. So I want to see it.
Just for the record, we're not putting you on the spot. No. If you want to share it. Our lawyer, Anthony, talked about how people come to him and they think that they've worked everything through. And then he asks simple questions like, well, what is the child going to call the donor? And it stumps these people. And then sometimes he has people who actually like don't go forward because they're not on the same page. So I think it was so smart that you did that.
Right. And I think one of the biggest things for me in any relationship, whether it's like your parents, your best friends, or your partner, I feel like a lot of people don't ask a lot of questions. And that's what I always talk about all the time. And I call it big talk. And you just have to ask questions because you can't assume. And if you want to get to know people better, expectations better, and not like think you know what's going on and have a handshake deal, you got to ask these questions.
Yeah.
So that's where that really came from. And
so we really like sat down and brainstormed like, okay, what do we want to ask?
Yeah. And that was prior to going forward. And we talked about it personally and said, these are what we would want him to say or what we would want together as a couple and to start a family because this is huge. Mm-hmm. Right. So
did you have any deal breakers?
We had deal breakers too.
I know I did, but did you?
Yeah. What were the deal breakers?
Well, his deal breaker as well. He had a deal breaker.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be unknown. He didn't want to be just like donate and then
that's it.
And
anonymous.
We act like it. We got it from a sperm bank or something.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was okay with that because I don't mind him being known in their life, but just not like a father,
a dad.
A dad or, yeah, like I just, and no rights. Mm-hmm. So if he wanted any rights in any way, that would have been a deal breaker for me. Yeah.
Right, right.
So he filled out the questionnaire, and if it came back pretty aligned to us, and it's like, let's do this, we'll create a contract. And he came back, and it was like super easy.
So easy.
It was like super, super respectful. He's like, this is your baby.
Yeah.
I'm just helping you have a family. Like, there's nothing that I'm expecting from this. I just want you guys to have that love in your life.
Oh, I love it. And you know,
incredible.
What? It's really a smart way to go about this. Just besides the whole legal thing, the way you, instead of telling him what your expectations were, where he could just turn around and be like, yeah, okay, sure.
Totally.
You waited to hear what he had to say first. You knew what you wanted in your heart. And then you saw if it aligned. Really, a lot of
It was
of
like you are confident enough to know that if not him, it would come someplace else.
Correct.
It's great.
As opposed to coming from like a place of, you know, desperation.
We had an issue with that too.
We did, actually.
Oh my God. just to summarize that, we ended up going to a infertility doctor just to check if everything was going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Just like,
just to make sure, just do our due diligence. And I don't really know about this guy, but he said, you know, it'd be smart to just get his sperm tested to see if like you're not wasting your time with him.
Right.
So we tried once and we didn't get pregnant. So we're like, all right, let's just see if he has like a proper count and if his sperm's like actually, you know, viable. So we got that tested. Again, he lives in LA. So he had to do it at a clinic over there. They sent the results to the doctor. The doctor called us and said, yeah, I wouldn't use him.
Oh, really?
Right?
Yeah.
See, he had like low mobility and like the formation was off or something like that.
I didn't know there was formations. It's amazing. It's like synchronized swimming.
Formulators.
Like yep.
So we ended up talking about it.
I was so devastated.
We were sad about it.
Devastated, and we were like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? We gotta look for a sperm bank now. And I went like on a crazy bender on like all these sperm bank things, and I was
like,
look,
and we're like, this is not gonna work.
Right. Well, when you have your heart set on it happening a certain way, that's the way you want it to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's also interesting. We've talked to couples who were using a known donor and then a doctor told them, don't use this donor, and they didn't.
Mm.
And they kicked them. Every single person we talked to kicked them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm fascinated by this.
Mm-hmm. So the only reason why we went through with it is because we had already booked a flight for him to come down. His family lives here. So he was going to come visit his family. And at the same time, we were checking my supposed ovulation dates and whatnot, and we're like, let's just keep the flight.
And we had already put so much time. We did the questionnaire, you know, we talked to him, we knew who he is.
We made the contract before we
got the contract.
Yes.
We put a lot of time.
We got notarized, everything.
We did
the whole thing.
Yeah,
but just to put it into context, you had only tried one time.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's like you were 30 days into the process plus questionnaire.
They put so much thought into it. And you used lawyers, right? You had to use a lawyer to like.
A friend that's a lawyer
that did it. And then we just got it vetted and notarized. And everything. So,
I mean, we say this all the time. Once you're on the path, once you're on that roller coaster, you can't stop and you're just
ready.
It's
tough to change. It's tough to change.
Yeah.
And then he also, when we had told him about it, because we were like, this is what the doctor said, and we talked about it, he came back and he was like, well, I'm no quitter.
He was like, I'll still go through with it. And we're like,
he was like,
right.
I can do better.
Yeah. And he was actually very sad too.
I can imagine.
We had another gay man who donated, and he had a bad count, and he was like, no, recheck it. And it turned out he was using acne medicine, like proactive, like whatever that was. And he read about it and affected his sperm count, and he stopped and it changed everything. And they had two kids by him, but he was just like, he refused in the same, it was another gay man. And he was just like, no, he was like, check it again.
Right.
But wait, one full disclosure, the way we found you guys was through Mira Fertility. Tell us about how that played into your fertility checking. Cause you were just starting to talk about it lined up with his trip. How did that work?
Yes. So I didn't want to waste time. So I was out there looking for other opportunities to track ovulation other than just kind of like, I don't know, like doing
mucus
mm-hmm. and taking your BBT every morning and whatnot. So I had like two different apps and I was tracking all that. Again, I know we only tried once, but I was like, I wanted to work the first time.
And probably also because of your cousins.
I didn't want to go down this 3-year road and whatnot.
Yes.
So I found Mira and I was like, oh, this looks like something that would be legit. Pee on the stick. And then it actually reads your levels and it gives you like a feedback of when your spikes are, because I read a lot about how every body is different. So you could ovulate early or late. And I said, I don't want to waste time. Bought the Mira and I used it and I started tracking it. And then it was interesting because I was using it at the first round for that second try. And it just so happened that I was using the apps with like the Mira feedback that I got. Mm-hmm. And I booked our donor's flight around the suspected peak time based on that.
Based on the app?
Based on the app.
Mm-hmm. And that's incredible.
Yeah. I know, which was awesome. So we ended up keeping it. He came down and I kept checking my levels. And actually the day after we tried, my LH levels spiked and it showed that it went up. So I'm pretty sure we got pregnant around that time because it was... And we tried every other day because you're supposed to.
Yeah, you did.
Every other day.
How many days did you try?
We tried it 2 days. So one on a Monday and then one on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The first time we tried, we actually tried back-to-back days. And we heard from other lesbian couples that use a known donor that you don't want to do that because the sperm is going to kill off each other. So we had he was here for 4 days. So I was like, I'm going to use Mira to figure out which 2 days of the 4 days we're going to try. It actually shifted too because I was like, I think the spike's supposed to be another, you know, hit another time. So we shifted it another day and it ended up working out perfect because here we are. We are pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm really also impressed with is that it showed you a spike after that because when you're trying and you keep getting negatives and negatives and negatives. I can't tell you the amount of pregnancy tests I bought when I was going through my almost 3 years of infertility because you just want to know. You need an answer. So having that, right. I mean, I can imagine that you still go crazy with it because now you're testing and you're not getting any numbers. But still, to see that happen, I like that.
Yeah. It was because it was the first round. I was like, is it just reading the sperm? Like, I was just like, what does this mean? I didn't really understand it, but looking like, back at it.
Babe, my levels are up. Babe. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Man, if only it was that easy.
I know. If only we could just bone. If only.
So
I want to know, because we have talked to numerous couples who've done it at home, but how does that work?
And were you ever afraid you were screwing it up and all the sperm was like going in the wrong places?
Ooh, girl. We had bubbles. Oh my gosh. The first time we went to LA, we had gotten a really nice Airbnb because we're like, we're going to get pregnant the first time.
It's going to be romantic.
It's so going to be super romantic. Yeah. So we had him come over and deposit his specimen in a cup. And then we had these little squeeze
syringes. And I had
syringes.
To keep it warm. So I had to hold it in my hand.
And we're like, okay, bye. Keep it warm. And then
so he left.
He left. At the time, we had this squeeze syringe that you like, you know, you squeeze it and then you put it in the sperm and then you suck it up.
Oh gosh. Right. Like a droplet, an eyedropper type thing.
Correct. Yeah. We used that the first time and then we tried it the first day. I think I sucked it up the first time. Well, and I handed it to her so she could be part of it.
I was like, I want to be a part of it.
Yes. And I was like, you be part of it. So
it's like cutting the umbilical cord, but not.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
going
to have to do that.
Oh, gosh. So the second day, she decides to put the syringe in and push the thing. So it went.
Oh.
And then I was like, what are you doing?
It's like spilling out the side.
And she sucked it up and it's like air bubbles. And then this is really graphic. Sorry.
This is good. People want to hear. You need to know.
Because I know I would screw this up at home. Like, I just know all of it would end up on the floor. And I'd be like, God damn it.
Just to clarify, we joke turkey baster method. That's what we call it. However,
it's not a turkey baster.
This is a syringe that is used for this.
No, oh. I don't think so. I think that this is not the proper syringe.
You literally just bought like an eyedropper.
Well, the infertility doctor gave it to us. He gave us these little cups and the little
sterile.
It's like a pipette. They're like pipettes.
Yes, pipettes. Exactly. That's exactly what they are.
Boom, I took science.
Yeah, you did. Wow. I'm impressed.
Don't use a pipette, though.
Okay.
Don't use a pipette. Yeah, because she sucked up all the air, and then when she put that in me, it was like air. I was like, oh my God, what is this?
She's like, babe, it's all coming out.
It was not. So we were kind of optimistic, but not at all the first time. We were like, God dang it.
Like that definitely didn't work.
Yeah, no.
Also, this sounds like the opposite of your Airbnb romantic fireplace setting that you had in mind.
Yeah, it was
babe,
a good
it's
thought.
It's coming out.
But we did get romantic.
Oh, you did.
Of course you did.
The first time it was actually romantic. Yeah. I got emotional. Yeah. And it was like, oh my God, we're trying to make a baby. Yeah. And yeah, the second time was not as
it was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, so suddenly it's like science gloves. Yeah. It's like...
Face mask
down.
Yeah. Pretty much. And we actually documented a lot of our process on camera. We have it all like on video.
Oh, you're making
we
a documentary, aren't you?
You should.
Are you too?
Yeah. Listen, if you need us to host it, fine. We'll do it. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was an interesting first time, but we learned our lesson that time. So don't use a pipette.
Don't use a pipette.
Yeah, we ended up buying another syringe.
Buying it where? Better. Like at a CVS?
Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Amazon.
Yeah.
So like,
I do want to share that.
Share it.
Yeah, I think I forgot.
You forgot? Okay. So we got the syringes. I got it off Amazon. It was like a packet of 100 because they were tiny. I didn't know the size. So we ended up, because they were so tiny, we had a good amount of specimen. So we had to suck up 4 different ones.
Oh, right, stand by and number 2. Stand by, coming in with number 3.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And we used a disc.
A
disc. So
just to keep the business up there, right?
Yeah.
It's like a soft cup or something like
it
that.
It is. Oh. It's a soft cup. It's what like. You can use today for menstrual
cycles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it keeps, it's just like a stopper.
I haven't heard of that.
Plugging things up, if you will.
Yeah, because, you know, last time air bubbles came out, so we didn't want that.
That was fun.
Oh my God, with the air bubbles.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so second time you got smart and you figured some things out and then it worked.
Yeah. It worked. It all lined up. Mira said I spiked. We had the proper syringe.
She had her feet up.
I had my feet up for a couple hours.
I love it.
But we were a little nervous because we were still like, okay, let's not get our hopes up, because that one negative was really sad. I mean, I feel for anybody and everybody out there that's like constantly gone through this process.
It's very hard.
And we're very fortunate.
You have your hopes up.
Yeah.
Are you guys, we talked a little bit before, you're in Arizona and you're about to have a baby. Do you have any worries about the red state lesbian family thing or?
Actually, no. I've always felt, I know Arizona is like a red state and there's a lot of retirees here and whatnot, but everybody that I'm surrounded by is like super progressive and open. And I don't see an issue, and hopefully we can turn this red state blue.
Yeah.
Turn this red state lesbian.
Yes. Ooh, rainbow. Yeah.
Rainbow. That's nice to hear, though. That's really great to hear.
Yeah, it's really nice to
hear. Yeah, we've had no issues at all.
Yeah, not at all.
I read sometime, like maybe a decade ago, that there's some retirement community there that's like an LGBTQ. And I've always fantasized about me and all my friends like retiring there.
I totally read that. I was like, ooh, I'm going to retire there.
Right? Wouldn't that be so fun? It's like a retirement community with all the gays. I would love it.
Dinah for retirees.
Oh my God, how fun would that be? I don't know if it'd be crazy though, because we'd be all 80.
We'd probably all old and just be like, my knees.
How hard was it to decide who carries? Was it an easy decision?
That was a very easy decision, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to keep trying. I wanted to try at 33. It was going to be the max age that I wanted to try it, because I felt like if it's going to be a process and I was going to be 34 or 35, I just have a lot of like body issues and like a lot of medical but not medical stuff that I didn't want it to be where I'm getting pregnant older. Mm-hmm. And she just didn't want to be pregnant at all.
Never. Mm-hmm. Never wanted it.
Well, she's changed her mind since, but.
Oh, really?
Well, because we want two, and she's not going to carry
it again.
You're not doing it again.
Marissa, so if you want one, another one, you got to get pregnant, or we can adopt.
But. Would you use the same donor or try to use the same donor? Yeah, do you care?
Yeah. It was in the questionnaire.
Of course it was. We need this questionnaire. Oh, my God. It's really like you guys, because we get all these questions answered for us by the sperm bank. Like, they have these questionnaires for these donors.
Yeah, right.
And they vet them. Right. You know, we get a lot of that info that you were talking about. But, like, I've never heard of a couple create their own questionnaire with that much detail.
Detail.
Yeah.
I just love how methodical you were with the whole process from beginning to end. And maybe it is because your cousin went through that 3-year process, but regardless, you didn't have the information, but yet you still were so like surgical with how you did it. And I think that's really wonderful. I mean,
Thank you.
I think it's helpful for listeners to know that it doesn't have to be crazy. You can just like make choices and just go forward. And sometimes that's going to work out. Sometimes it's going to be harder, but you know, that might clear up some of the hard part of it.
And I remember wanting to start looking into this process, and it was super overwhelming. Like, we didn't know where to start. We didn't know how we wanted to do it. We didn't, like, every step of the way was very confusing. And I still talk about it too. I mean, we always talk about starting a YouTube because we didn't have a lot of resources. We didn't have who we can talk to, my cousin, but that's one person's experience. Mm-hmm. I can talk to another couple and get more information, but there's nothing out there for us to reference. So we always stop. And we even said that, like, we could put this questionnaire on YouTube and say, download this as a resource.
You could. Like, you might be, getting a lot of requests for that after this. No, it's true. And we did say this. You had mentioned that the only lesbians you saw having babies were on the L Word, or that's where you first even had the idea. There was nothing even that recent. Here's my son.
Oh, we almost made it there.
I know.
See, we can put our dogs upstairs.
Yeah.
I know.
Enjoy that. Upstairs. Yeah. So it was even that recent, and there is more out there now, but there's not enough. Yeah. There's not enough on how to make our families.
Well, I hope that after 6 weeks from now or seven, you have that baby, and then you'll do a follow up with us in some way. Maybe it's on our live stream or something, because we need to see you two a little more disheveled. I'm going to just be really super honest about it.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I need to for my own self esteem.
Oh, girl, this eye is twitching. You just can't see it.
We wish you all the best for the rest of your pregnancy.
All the best.
I know it's crazy time for having to go give birth. So we hope that everything goes smooth and you're allowed in there. I don't know if you're allowed. Both of you are going to be.
Yes.
Yeah, you are.
She will be there.
Well, we really do wish you the best. And we can't wait to see this little baby. I'm sure we're going to see her on the social. Yes,
for sure. Yes, for sure. Our platform is going to be changing over to a little family, family oriented for sure.
That is
exciting.
Yeah. Are you going to change your handle or keep it at Lesbidovas?
We'll keep it Lesbidovas. Yeah. Just less traveling. I mean, obviously less traveling, just more so sharing our life and hopefully sharing resources to like help others.
Yeah. Amazing.
People can find you at Lesbidovas on Instagram. That's where they should go.
Lesbidovas.
Go check them out, guys. Go follow. I love it. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, those Lesbidovas.
Lesbidovas. I feel like they're going to rule the world.
I know.
Through Instagram.
They know the ticket. They got the secret.
What is that?
They got the golden ticket.
They were just so organized.
They look so cool, too.
Like, I know. And their kitchen was like perfectly, like it was like a curated shot.
They look so cool.
Damn it.
You know what I've learned? People actually, like for Zoom and stuff, like when they're going to go do stuff on Zoom, they actually stage the background.
You didn't know that?
No. And I haven't been doing that. People see my like messy bed and like, you know what I mean? Like we got to do better.
Jane, we're going to stage the background of our lives.
Better. It is so hot in here. I have drips of sweat just trickling down my back. No joke. They're amazing.
All right.
Okay. Can we be that cool?
No, Jamie, we can't. I think it's very well established. We aren't. Their hair. We'll never be that cool.
How do people have such great hair?
I'm telling you, it's because they don't have the baby. Let's cut to the Lesbidova account a year from now. Either one of two things is going to happen.
It's going
to
be so
either,
together.
Either, no. Well, either there'll be like two posts a year because no. When can you get yourself that together?
Oh, I'm trust me, they're going
to
be together.
Might not even take work for them to be that together. They might just they're like just wake beautiful. Up like that. All right, I don't wake up like that. I wake up like, and I look at Mary, and I'm just like, why are you with me?
Sweat dripping down my
back. All right, people, if you want to pre-order our book, right now you can get it through Amazon. And on September 22nd, it's going to be available at all major retailers. It's called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family.
And it's so good, you guys.
It really is. Super proud of it.
I'm so proud of us.
Soups.
Can't believe we wrote this book.
I know.
It's like, I think it's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
That's a little sad, especially so you have two kids. All right.
I was thinking of my acting career. Like, well, I actually did do some cool stuff.
Listen,
in the musicals.
I will always be most proud of the big hands acting work I did on Monsters Inside Me and Celebrity Ghost Stories.
I did an episode of America's Most Wanted.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I did.
Listen, there's no better acting than reenactment acting.
It's amazing.
I call it big hands acting.
I mean,
you get
I
to, like, wave things around a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. All right.
Oh, God.
Listen, folks. We've got a discount page now where we've started some partnerships with people who we believe, only partnerships that we believe that you would want.
Yes, we are vetting them.
Yes.
Hardcore. Because they're coming in.
Because they're coming in left and right. We're just saying no to everybody.
We have said no to some.
We said no to a couple.
Have. Okay.
And so we've got Mira, the fertility kit, and we also now have BetterHelp where you can get some online therapy action, which right now, who doesn't need it? I'm sorry.
Oh, everybody does.
I need it.
Everybody does. My dog needs it. My dog's not even alive.
Your dog died, Jamie.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's keep this conversation
going.
Keep going
to weird places.
You're so weird this morning. Join us on the social.
Yes, please do that. You can get us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries_Talk on Instagram, If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, and you can also join our private community, which you should do. You can also join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk for all that bonus content we mentioned earlier.
And support us.
Please support us. And you can also now subscribe to us on YouTube. How amazing. So you can catch up on all of our Facebook live streams that we do every week. And there's a lot of them and they're great.
Okay. That is literally enough from us. Wait, it has to stop, Jamie.
It has to. It's just so fun.
No. Eggs.
What's wrong with my computer? Ovaries.
Oh, my God. Ow. I think Jamie's turned into Helen.
Helen,
wake help up, Jamie.
Wake up, Helen. Come on, Helen. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
X ovaries out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.